We begin then. It's very beautifully described, the gradual opening up of consciousness out of total unconsciousness. Earth was built. When Earth was built, page 129, in the unconscious void, and nothing was save a material scene. There seemed to be only matter identified with sea and sky and stone. All these universal, you might say, the framework of existence, these are forces, powers that are eternal, sea and sky and stone. That is the backdrop of manifestation. It's there that the forces are hidden. That's the power that is often mentioned even in the Vedas. These are the forces where the powers of manifestation are hidden and they are slowly coming out into the open. Identified with sea and sky and stone, her young gods yearned for the release of souls. The forces hidden in these, you might say, beings of sea and sky and stone, they are actually beings. It's not simply just a certain background. It is full of the possibilities of manifestation. These possibilities are still simply possibilities. They have to become realities. So that push towards manifestation is a yearning, as if from below, from within, these beings of the gods in the world of stone, the gods in the world of sky. There is so much light in the sky. There is so much life waiting to emerge in the stone. All these want to come out. Like in us, we also have so many possibilities dormant in us. But they stay dormant. They have to be brought out. And that is the evolution of consciousness. Her young gods yearned for the release of souls asleep in objects, vague, inanimate. In the beginning, these godheads are still there, but they want to emerge. In that desolate grandeur, in that beauty bare, in the deaf stillness, because that world where these forces, these beings, these energies actually, they want to emerge, don't get any response. Just like in us, we have, you might say, some kind of a feeling that I have to manifest, I have to break out of my present state where there is so much resistance. Why can't I break out? What is it that is stopping these energies from manifesting of beauty of all the different forms of movement, of feeling, not yet of thought, the thought will come later, but expression, different modes of expression. They're waiting to emerge. But it is as if the silence is like a deaf wall. It doesn't permit it. There's a time for all things, and they do not, this silence does not allow these energies to manifest. Just like there's a time for the child to be born, it doesn't emerge before its time. Every life, every manifestation has a moment. Before that moment, there is a preparation. There is a silent preparation that takes place within, not only in the body, but in the body of the earth also, in the body of creation also. Something is getting prepared, ready. In that deaf still, in the deaf stillness, mid the unheeded sounds, heavy was the uncommunicated load of Godhead in a world that had no needs. The load of Godhead, of a new principle of light It is waiting to emerge, but the world had no need. We don't feel the need, just like we often don't feel the need for change, for transformation, for a manifestation of a new consciousness. That consciousness is waiting. We have to be ready. We have to prepare. As Mother has asked us, are you ready? But before that, before you are ready, before you have prepared your being to be capable of transmitting that consciousness, if that load of consciousness comes out, perhaps the surface being will break down. It's too much. So there is a kind of a rhythm in the play of existence where these forces of a new stage of consciousness have to wait for their time. Until then, the world doesn't feel any need. For none was there to feel or to receive, because the individualized consciousness was not yet formed. There was a universe, but in that universe there has to be an individualization. The individualization can aspire. The individual can want, can yearn. Until that is there, this eagerness to want, to try, to achieve, to go forward, is not manifest. So that had, until then, there was no need. For none was there to feel or to receive this solid mass which brooked no throb of sense. The whole physical external universe, which did not permit, brook is allow, permit, no throb of sense. There was no response. There has to be response. There is something that is given to us. We have to recognize what is given to us. Always it's like this. The earth receives light from the sun. The earth responds by breaking out into trees and flowers. If it doesn't, it becomes barren. Nothing comes out. So there is this interplay of something that is given and something that replies. In us, that preparation has to take place. We often turn to, you might say, even Mother, Sri Aurobindo, divine wisdom. But if we are not ready, it is perhaps better not, because there is no response. It's like a wave that passes over us and leaves no trace. Unless somewhere in the being there is a connection that is established. We have to establish that connection. For none was there to feel or to receive. This solid mass, which brooked no throb of sense, could not contain their vast creative urge. Immersed no more in matter's harmony. Otherwise, matter by itself is a field of quietness. It is the world of inertia on the one hand, but this inertia is also the other side of complete passive quietness. It is in this quietness that things start working. So there is the other side of matter. It is inert, but this inertia does its work of peace, of tranquility, laying down the foundation of action, of change, of growth. Change cannot really be manifested unless before it happens there is something that is stable. Matter is stable. That stability has to be there. But the forces still want to emerge out into the world of life. The spirit lost its statuesque repose. That is the stability. spirit. Now he uses spirit. Matter is spirit. The opposition between spirit and matter is just something that is on the surface. What is growing out of matter? Consciousness. This consciousness has not yet emerged. Spirit is in matter, and this spirit slowly begins to grow. In the uncaring trance, it groped for sight. That is trance. Trance is not exactly sleep. It does give the appearance of sleep, but actually it is a withdrawal of consciousness from the surface deep within. So that when one is completely indrawn, the consciousness has gone deep inside. The surface seems to be without any movement, any energy. It's asleep. The two are not true. Trance is not unconscious, a state of sleep. Trance is a state of perhaps preparation, a deeper experience that is at work deep within, from which slowly something will emerge. That takes a time. Life takes its time. The seed takes its time to grow from the depths of the dark soil. When it is not yet emerging, you feel there is no seed, there is no life, there is nothing. It may take weeks. Then one day we begin to see the first manifestation of life. In us too, exactly like that. In us too, there is a period in which nothing seems to progress or change or grow. Sometimes we say, you see children, they seem totally, in a sense, unresponsive to knowledge, to help, to guidance, to consciousness. You feel nothing is working. Then one day you find all that had been taught has done its work deep within, and someday it will emerge. So there is no cause ever for drawing quick conclusions, opinions, and saying this is useless. Because things take their own time. They take their time, they have their rhythms, and that is why Sri Aurobindo gives so much value to rhythm. Rhythm in action, rhythm in language, rhythm in movement. It's a sense of a pattern in the play of forces. Slowly now the spirit within, in the field of matter, lost its statuesque repose. The word statuesque, as it were, says like a statue, but there is a certain sense of dignity in that word. When you say something is statuesque, it is very beautifully, you know, dignified, strong, quiet. In the uncaring trance, it groped for sight. Slowly, the breaking out through the senses, because the senses are required. It is with the help of the senses that we relate to the experiences of things around us. You connect with the world of form, the world of sound, the world of taste through the senses. They are like, you might say, connectors. Passioned for the movements of a conscious heart. After the senses, the heart. The vital being, life force, experiences. Famishing for speech and thought and joy and love. All the things that the vital wants. He uses a word, famishing. Hungry. Desiring with all the possibilities in the body. It is the body first that wants. It wants to live. It wants to feel. It wants to move. That is the beginning of the life that first breaks out of matter. famishing for speech and thought and joy and love in the dumb, insensitive, wheeling day and night. Until then, there is this outward mechanical play of movement. Just a repetition of darkness and light, day and night, changing of the earth around the sun. The sun turns towards the earth turns towards the sun. It is day, the earth turns away from the sun. It is night. The sun doesn't move. We move towards the light, away from the light. It is an almost a mechanical movement, not voluntary. There are certain life energies that are involuntary. So this mechanical pattern, until you can turn towards the light voluntarily, you can then open to the light. You can open through a call, love, maybe a need, maybe a call for help. All these things that break down the absolute, you might say, apathy, the inertia of nature, sometimes a blow, sometimes a pain, breaks down the wall of our indifference, and there is an opening to the light. So these play of a new stage of manifestation of life. Life is experience. Life is movement. Life is joy. Life is pain. Life is discovery. It's a continuous adventure. Famishing for speech and thought and joy and love in the dumb, insensitive, wheeling day and night. Hungered for the beat of yearning and response. Until then, it was statuesque. Now the need for something, some change, some new experience is felt by the earth. The poised in conscience, shaken with a touch. The intuitive silence, trembling with a name. They cried to life to invade the senseless mold and in brute forms awake divinity. These are the Godheads, the young Godheads, the young manifestations. The Godheads are the new powers, the new possibilities. They want from before, they said, this is what we want. That's why somewhere deep inside us, there is a knowledge, which is not of the mind, that I want perfection, perhaps. Though I have never known perfection, I don't know what is perfection, but something that is free of all flaws, all error, is the ideal, which somewhere I intuitively know that this should be possible. My physical and earthly existence knows that should be possible, that perfect harmony, that perfect existence, an experience that we have not had. But then why do we dream of that? Why do we ask for that perfection which we have never lived? The intuitive silence, trembling inside us, that silence is there. It is such a beautiful thing that we are not aware that we are much more than what we are. Inside us, something else is asking, quietly. What we are is not enough. What we live is imperfect. And yet it is our normal life. You have to accept pain and death and sorrow and imperfection. And yet we continue to dislike them, repel them, want something more, because they want, these gods want to invade the world of life. The young gods of joy, of beauty, of harmony, of energy, of all the possibilities, so varied, so rich, color, multiplicity. And in brute forms, awake divinity. That is our goal. Otherwise, we are brute forms. We just are brute forms made of matter. We are made of flesh and blood and bone. But it is not flesh and blood and bone. There is consciousness. This consciousness in us yearns. It asks. It asks to grow. It asks to change. It asks for the absolute. That is divinity. That is why you ask for immortality. That's the beginning of the life divine, when he says the earliest preoccupation of man, which will probably be his last, God, light, freedom, immortality. Freedom from all that drags us down, all that binds us to the world of the slavery of the ugliness of imperfection, of error, of ego. It has not happened. And yet we want that perfection. That's why he says that will be the ultimate manifestation. And that these gods are asking, that this is what the future has to be. The future world will be a world where life is. Life is a field of all experiences of delight. He describes that in that poem he calls life mystic miracle, daughter of delight. Life, thou ecstasy. Life is joy. When we think of life, we associate it also with death, a limitation, an incapacity, a failure. Sometimes you are a little happy, so you say, oh, today was fine. No, life is a projection of the divine delight of manifestation, the Satchit Ananda. That Ananda projected itself into play, and these gods of Ananda are waiting to emerge. A voice was heard on the mute rolling globe. A murmur moaned in the unlistening void for a long time. The state is of unconsciousness dominates. A being seemed to breathe where once was none. This is the gradual change. In the beginning was unconsciousness. There was nothing. Now a life force, a divine creative energy emerges out of it. If it emerges out of this void, it must have been hidden inside. So the void was not really void. It is out of this absolute, resistant, silent, passive inertia that all the powers of a new manifestation were waiting to be manifested, to be born. Before something is born, it is not evident. It's always a new age that is born. As that beautiful talk of the mother where she says the new world is born, born, born. It has to come out. It has to manifest. There is a time where a new possibility of expression of manifestation takes place. That time had come. So until then, they were murmuring. Often the word murmur in Old English is not simply to talk slowly, softly. Murmur also means to grumble. When you speak softly, but you're unhappy, you're disturbed. And from there something comes up. Because we are not happy with the way things are. We are not happy with the way life is. Today we live. We live somewhat, not fully, in the body. The weight of the dull material sheath is there. The confusion of the mind is there. So ours is not yet a harmonious life. Something pent up in dead, insentient depths. It was waiting, that something. Denied conscious existence, lost to joy. Denied conscious existence. Existence is sat. Consciousness is chit. That is the original creative principle, the sat, chit, ananda, which is projected from the supreme, highest Brahman. That sat, chit, ananda is existence, consciousness, force, and bliss. All this is there, projected in the depths, in the unconsciousness, but they are not yet manifested because the outer field has not been made ready, has not been prepared for it. So they were denied conscious existence, lost to joy, turned as if one asleep since dateless time. Something turned, moved, as one asleep from dateless time, from the beginning of time immemorial, from the very beginning, as if there is a force of dullness, heaviness, unconsciousness, inertia. In that inertia now, there is a break. That is the beginning of the manifestation of life. So these lower forces of also in the world of life are a sign. Even in us, when the vital energies begin to emerge, they sometimes emerge in a disordered manner, indisciplined, chaotic, but it is a symptom. It's a symptom that there is the possibility of change, of growth. Wherever there is response, there is the possibility of opening to something new. If I am, supposing somebody pinches me, I get hurt, my body responds, then my body is not dead. Yes, I have to learn through pain. If I could learn without pain, it would have been different. But because there is resistance in matter, there has to be pain. There is effort, there is difficulty. But because from dateless time, that is from the beginning of the creation, this inertia, which is the foundation, is there, aware of its own buried reality. You see, this conscious existence is aware of itself, aware that it is buried deep inside. So this is the whole secret of involution of consciousness. Everything has been involved, put down into the depths, and out of those depths, a little at a time, there is a breaking out. Slowly, evolution is not sudden, it is not abrupt, it is not straight, it is a slow emergence. And it is a repetitive thing because again and again we fall back. The pull, downward pull, is there. It has lasted, it has been there for a very long time. So each time I make an effort, I make an effort to change, I make an effort, even in my surface nature I make an effort that I should not speak like this, I should not feel like this, I should not talk like this. Fine. And then I find myself doing it again. There's the pull. The pull of ignorance is very, very strong. And out of that I have to grow. So it is a vertical spiral. Evolution is not just a circling and change. It is an emerging from below upwards, and it is accompanied for a very long time by the downward pull. So we go up and come down. We rise, we fall. Because the And the more we fall, the deeper you fall, you get into the deeper depths. All the hidden powers that are in the deepest depths, they are shaken. And they slowly emerge. The greatest is in the lowest. The greatest forces are hidden in the lowest states of inconscience. That was Mother's experience. At the very bottom of the inconscience, she said. She touched the almighty spring of change that cast her up forthwith into the formless, limitless vast, vibrating with the seeds of the new world. So it is not to be misunderstood. The rising and the falling are part of the same pattern of change, of growth. If that change is not there, we repeat the same circuit like the earth is repeating its same orbit in the void. They just move in the void. But I am not just earth. I am a center of consciousness. I am also earth. Earth is the field of all manifestation. I manifest, I fail to manifest. I rise, I fall, I break up. Out of those bits and pieces of error and breaking up and darkness, something gets planted, disturbed, a new possibility. You wake up again. And this is a slow, long process. It's not a straight upward journey out of matter life. The pull of matter is very strong. Aware of its own buried reality, remembering its forgotten self and right, it yearned to know, to aspire, to enjoy, to live. This spirit, something pent up, learnt. You see, the first beginnings of entering into a world of new discovery, to learn, to discover, to find. This is the whole delight of existence, to come face to face with things I had never known before. So I know, I learn. And what I know, I learn, I find out. I say, no, I want more, I want better, I want something much more beautiful. Then I begin to aspire. I have a life, it's not good enough. When it's idealized, it's not good enough, then ask for something that is more than what I have. Not have what I am. I cannot have unless I am. Unless I become sensitive, I become open, I become capable of responding, then I discover. It is not life, it is not to possess. As an object external to me, possess, yes, to become. From within, I become part of that experience of life, of the energies, of the flow of energy that passes through me. I become a channel. This is the channel. Life, men, a human being can become channels of forces that come from beyond. Because we are made of the same original creative force. And that is the real delight. The delight of experience by identity. I am what I live. Then only I am happy. I don't have anything. I am that. That is live. We don't realize it is such a gift to be alive. This spirit is now the field of the new manifestation. Life heard the call and left her native light. So life is that Shakti, the original Shakti of manifestation, daughter of delight. It is an energy. She heard the call of earth, of the young gods, wanting to be manifested in the world. and left her world of the original Chit Shakti, which is her native light, overflowing from her bright, magnificent plane on the rigid coil and sprawl of mortal space in the world of matter where there seems to be so much ignorance. Here too the gracious great-winged angel. So this energy comes down. And she's so full of, you might say, compassion, grace. That graciousness is compassion. She comes down into a world perhaps that doesn't deserve. Do we deserve all that we are given? We don't even know how to receive them. But we are given so much. A play of so much energy, so many possibilities of experience, which we don't even recognize. Every step of our life, every moment of our life is a possibility of discovery. Of possibilities that are there, latent, waiting in every leaf, in every stone, in every moment, in every play of force, the delight of the divine is present. And when earth recognizes it, as in one of her very beautiful prayers she speaks of, at that time, she says, these blessed moments, all becomes a manifestation of the divine delight. So that the air trembles in the delight of light. The trees seem to rise in aspiration to the sky. The waves, as if they swell up with the divine love. The smile of the child is an expression of infinity. Everywhere, the possibilities of the wonders of manifestation are there. The grass flutters, the light shines through the play of the dewdrops that are there. So everywhere, this native world of light, of joy, of beauty and perfection that are waiting to emerge, life heard the call. Earth is asking for that perfect world, because this is what we always want, a perfect life on earth for men. And we cannot have a perfect life on earth for men unless we become perfect, unless we eliminate from us all that is attached to the lower creation. We are still attached to ignorance, to defects, which we justify in many, many logical ways. So what can I do? I can't help it. I am like this. We can always help it. But we have to work. We have to work on ourselves. Matter has to be sometimes hammered, polished, chiseled, so that the beauty of existence manifests itself in the world of life. That really is the art of living. Truly the art of living is to make the living being a work of art. To eliminate all that is an expression of ugliness. Error, falsehood, ignorance, egoism, all this is ugliness. And we say we are like that. That way we can never really be fully channels of the world of life. There will always be death. There will always be failure. Life heard the call and left her native light, overflowing from her bright, magnificent plane on the rigid coil and sprawl of mortal space. Here too the gracious great-winged angel poured her splendor and her swiftness and her bliss. This is what Mother is. This is what she has done. She has poured in us her splendor, her swiftness, her bliss, her love, her care to those on the earth who even call her the mother and yet do not resemble her at all. You have to resemble your parent to some extent. We don't. We are still tied to our lower nature. Hoping to fill a fair new world with joy. This is the future. As comes a goddess to a mortal's breast and fills his days with her celestial clasp, she stooped to make her home in transient shapes. This is the grace. This is the whole secret of existence. This is Savitri. This is the mother. She is the goddess who has come down to the earth. The earth soul. I think the earth soul is Satyavan, represented by Satyavan. That part of the soul, earth soul that aspires, that is opening to her. It is this being that is really filled by her nature, by her being. This is the grace, this is the love. That love is constant. She comes. She has come to make her home in our world, in transient shapes. In matter's womb, she casts the immortal's fire. Yes.
And fills his days with the celestial class. So this is referring to the earth soul.
Mortal. The mortal. The mortal and the eternal goddess. So we have always put the goddess on a pedestal. She's up there. She comes here. She's not only up there. She's not only in a photograph. She's not only located in some kind of a temple or wherever. She is each of us. If you are working so much for the Matri Mandir, one aspect of the Matri Mandir is your heart. You are the Matri Mandir. You don't visit a place. You have to become that. You have to live that. But we do not. For us, it's a place to visit. You go there for a while, you sit for a meditation, you go to the samadhi, you sit for a meditation, you come back, you feel good. You feel you have done some, paid your, you might say, due, you've done your tax to the divine. But it is not possible. We have to become what we love. If you love her, you have to become like her. Again and again she used to tell us, you have to become what you love. Or ressemble à ce que l'on aime. If you love her, you have to be like her. If you love him, Sri Aurobindo, you have to be like him. It is not enough to take a name. It is not enough to remember only. That is the starting point. The actual final thing is identity. You become. Through love, you can become. You have to lose yourself. It's like the drop of water in the ocean, it becomes the ocean. It is no longer there. When the drop of water falls in the sea, there is no water. There is only the sea. If we can lose ourselves in that, and this is what is given, this is the chance that she has given. She's come to us. She's come in our world. We say we worship her. In our own way, we love her. But we love her through our nature, which remains our nature. We have to completely wipe off our nature and blend with her. And that is the whole process of yoga. Yoga means union. Yoga means complete self-loss. You do not exist. Only that exists. Okay? But earth responds. Nature responds long before man. So the response of earth feels the delight of the creative energy. And so there's a breaking out of beauty. The first response is beauty. So you have flowering of trees and mountains and colors. And that is as if a kind of a splendid manifestation of her. But man doesn't respond so easily. Okay. Shall we stop here today and finish it next time?